जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, कोपि जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोधनंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोधनंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्, नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया, भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। Hare Krishna, good morning. Today we're reading from the third chapter of the third canto, text number 10. This chapter is titled, The Lord's Pastimes Out of Vrindavan.
Kala Magada Salvadin. Kala Magada Salvadin. Anikai Rundantapuram Ajiganat Savyam Divyam, Ajiganat Savyam Divyam, Svapum Sham Teja Adishat, Svapum Sham Teja Adishat, Kala Magada Salvadin, Anikai Rundatapuram, Ajiganat Svayam Divyam, Ajiganat Svayam Divyam, Svapum Sham Teja Adishat, Svapum Sham Teja Adishat, Svapum Sham Teja Adishat. Ask first the senior devotees in the crowd to
please chant the verse, followed by the students. Ajiganat svayam divyam Svapum shanti ja adishat. Students. Kala, Kalyavana, Magadha, the king of Magadha, Jarasandha, Shalva, King Shalva, Adin, and others, Anikai, by the soldiers, Rundataha, being encircled, Puram, the city of Mathura. Aji Ganat, killed. Svayam, personally. Divyam, transcendental. Svapumsham, of his own men. Teja, prowess. Adi Shat, exhibited. Translation. Kalyavana, the king of Magadha, and Salva attacked the city of Mathura. But when the city was encircled by their soldiers, the Lord refrained from killing them personally, just to show the power of his own men. Purport. After the death of Kamsa, when Mathura was encircled by the soldiers of Kalyavana, Jarasandha, and Salva, the Lord seemingly fled from the city, and thus he is known as Ranchor, or one who fled from fighting. Actually, the fact was that the Lord wanted to kill them through the agency of his own men, devotees like Muchukunda and Bhima. Kalyavana and the king of Magadha were killed by Muchukunda and Bhima respectively, who acted as agents of the Lord. By such acts, the Lord wanted to exhibit the prowess of his devotees, as if he were personally unable to fight, but his devotees could kill them. The relationship of the Lord with his devotees is a very happy one. Actually, the Lord descended at the request of Brahma in order to kill all the undesirables of the world. But to divide their share of glory, he sometimes engaged his devotees to take the credit. The Battle of Kurukshetra was designed by the Lord himself. But just to give credit to his devotee, Arjuna, Nimita Matram Bhava Savya Sachim, he played the part of the charioteer, while Arjuna was given the chance to play the fighter and thus become the hero of the Battle of Kurukshetra. What he wants to do himself by his transcendental plans, he executes through his confidential devotees. That is the way of the Lord's mercy towards his pure, unalloyed devotees. Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmaya Shri Kuruvayana Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Putuvay Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinanavay. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Vajayana, Nirvisesha Shunyavadi, Vaschita, Keshatarina, Vanja Kalpa, Trubhyascha, Kripa, Sindhu, Vajaja, Patitanam, Bhavane, Pyo, Vaishnavi, Pyo. First, I'd like to request the blessings of all the devotees present here, that I can offer some service and speak a little bit on the glories of Krishna and his pastimes out of Vrindavan. We just read the translation to Damodarashtakam, and one of the points in the verse is Satyavata Muni is saying, may this vision of your babyhood pastimes, baby Krishna, Krishna in Vrindavan, be all that's in my mind, and just that. Yet we're at this chapter of Bhagavatam that reads the whole chapter about Krishna outside of Vrindavan. So the thought is, why do we even care about Krishna outside of Vrindavan if devotees like Satyavata Muni are saying, I just want your babyhood pastimes, you in Vrindavan, that specific form of you I want in my mind always. So I thought I would ask a little question, because this question leads to another question, a little bit of a paradox. So we'll do a little activity, sort of. Everyone close your eyes, and I'll ask a few questions. And yes or no questions. If you think yes, raise your hand. And if you think no, don't raise your hand. So raise your hand if you believe that God, Krishna, is all perfect. Okay, put your hand down. Keep your eyes closed. Raise your hand if you think that Krishna's pastimes are all perfect. Okay. Put your hand down. Keep your eyes closed. Put your hand up if you think that Krishna is infallible or does not make mistakes. Okay. Next question. Put your hand up if you think there's unlimited variety in the spiritual world. So your eyes are open. You can close your eyes. Keep your eyes closed. Last question. Second to last question, actually. Put your hand up if you think there's hierarchy in the spiritual world, or different levels of closeness of relationships. Okay, last question. You can open your eyes for this last question. Put your hand up if you like pineapple on pizza. What? Okay, that last one was just for jokes. That was just to break the ice. You can quiet down now. We can talk about this after class. I knew I would open up a can of worms saying that. The reason I ask these questions... The reason I ask these questions, not the pineapple one, but the reason I ask these questions is because there is a paradox. Imagine you go to school and you get a perfect score on a test, 100 on a test, and your friend gets a 90, and he says, hey, I got a perfect score. I said, no, you didn't, because a perfect score is defined as 100. So if Krishna's all perfect, his pastimes are all perfect, but there seems to be hierarchy, there seems to be all kinds of variety, how is that possible? So it's described that Krishna's all perfect, but there's levels to his perfection. It's a little inconceivable for us to understand. But this is how the Lord's able to have variety and at the same time be infallible, be all perfect. So Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are known as the most perfect pastimes. Krishna's pastimes in Mathura are known as, well, we'll go backwards. Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka are known to be perfect. His pastimes in Mathura more perfect. And his pastimes in Vrindavan, the most perfect. But when we look at pastimes out of Vrindavan, there's actually so much nectar that's there and so much insight into very practical matters, because it's very difficult sometimes to understand Krishna in Vrindavan. We can't imitate Krishna in Vrindavan. But Krishna as a king, there's so many lessons to be learned. And Krishna's mission and his purpose starts to come out. And it's very evident. And the decisions he makes is something that we can learn from very well, very closely. So, that being said, it's a very nice pastime. We're very fortunate that this early in the Bhagavatam, we have pastimes of Krishna that we can discuss. Many times just pastimes of different incarnations of the Lord or different devotees, but here it's specifically of Krishna in this chapter. I'll ask you another question. What is Krishna's mission? Why did he come to this planet? Why did Krishna come here? Any ideas? Any thoughts? See a hand. Give us the holy name. You have a liberate us. You have a hand in the back. Destroy all the evil. I'll take two or three more. Anybody else? Why did Krishna come?
Create pastimes.
To cleanse the earth. I'll take one last one over here. I see a hand up. Yeah.
Purify
everyone in this universe. Yes, you all stated many nice answers that are given in Shastra. Remember, you've heard this verse, Purutranaya sadunam vinashaya chudushpitam dharma samstapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna states three reasons. First, Purutranaya sadunam, to deliver the devotees, vinashaya chudushpitam, to, as someone said, cleanse the earth of the demons or demoniac forces. And dharma samstapanataya, to reestablish dharma, the principles of religion. But also in Bhagavatam, there's two other reasons. One is stated that to reveal his transcendental abode, his qualities, his name, his form, his entourage, his leelas, that was also mentioned by all of you. And also to enjoy his transcendental loving pastimes with his pure devotees. So I'm saying this because I want you to pay attention to his mission. Well, I tell this story. I'm going to tell the story of Jarasandha and Kalyavana. And throughout this whole story, there's a few themes. We will notice that Krishna makes certain decisions along the way. And all his decisions, he reflects upon, why did I come to earth? What is my mission? And am I making a certain decision that reflects my purpose in being here? So there was, Krishna went to Mathura, and after so many demons coming from Kamsa, so much disturbance coming to Vrindavan, Krishna finally went to Mathura himself and accepted the challenge of fighting Chanura Mushtika and eventually fighting Kamsa. And Krishna kills Kamsa and establishes his grandfather as the king of Mathura. But what happened to the wives of Kamsa? Kamsa had two wives, Ashti and Prapti, and because Kamsa was killed, they had no husband, they were widowed. So they went to their father, Jarasandha, who was the king of Magadha. And they were so upset, and they said, "Father, this Krishna has killed our husband, please protect us, do something." And Jarasandha became very upset, and he was so upset that he didn't just want to kill Krishna. He wanted to kill his whole family. And not his whole family, but his whole dynasty. Any single person who was blood related to him. And I have a few photos to go along with this, but you can pull it up. So Jarasandha thought, okay, I'm going to have this big plan, 13 giant phalanxes. Oh, not that one. It's in the slideshow. That's a nice photo, too. It's a PowerPoint. Yeah, that one, yeah. And I'll just let you know when to go to the next picture. Yes, yay, PowerPoints. So 13 huge phalanxes, thousands of men, chariots, animals, and he surrounded Mathura in all directions. Krishna and Balaram were there, they're just the two of them, and they see the city's under siege. And Krishna thought to himself, he said, "What should I do here? What's my purpose? What's my mission on coming to earth? If I kill Jarasandha, I would only do so if I was to take over the city of Magadha, which is not my purpose. Yet here's all these soldiers who are ready to attack, and Vinashaya Chudushkutam, that is part of my mission. So we will finish all of the soldiers and show the Jarasandha, look, there's no point in attacking. It's going to be just you left in the battlefield." So Krishna blew his conch shell, and all the soldiers became afraid. And then the battle started. And it was like a big dust cloud, just all these arrows coming. But Krishna and Balaram, very expertly, they killed and liberated every single one of the soldiers until it was just left with Jarasandha. And here is the fight, here. And then there was just Jarasandha, left ashamed. And Balaram was about to tie him up and arrest him. But Krishna said, no, let him go. So J.R. Sunday, he went back home feeling very embarrassed. But when he got home, his friends told him, that was just luck. It was just luck, Krishna killing all the, try again, do it again. So J.R. Sunday, he got the same thousands and thousands of men, 13 phalanxes together, he attacked again. And what happened? He lost. The same result happened again. And he did this once, twice, three times. Do you know how many times he attacked?
13.
Not 13 more.
17.
And actually, 17 more times. So, can you imagine, maybe some of you play soccer. You have a soccer match. You lose 10-0. Not only do you lose, your whole team just quits. You go home, you create a new team, you go back, you play the same team, you lose 10-0 again. You do this 17 times in a row. You would think you would give up at some point. But this was the pride and the demoniac idea that I can conquer Krishna. J.R. Sunday kept coming again and again and again. And so he was planning the 18th attack. And when he was planning the 18th attack, Narad Muni, who likes to enhance and speed up the pastimes of the Lord and make them even more interesting, he called for another person in his army, someone by the name of Kalyavana, who was the king of the Yavanas, the king of the Malechas. And he said, there's this opulent place known as Mathura. I think you should go there and you should conquer. And he thought, oh, opulence, very nice. I'll go ahead and do that. So now here comes J.R. Sunday the 18th time with his thousands of men. And here comes Kalyavana with 30 million men. To Mathura. Any of you know Mathura, it's not a very big place. And to give you some context, the population of Australia is 26 million. This is 30 million men that came. But Kalyavana was a very interesting king, and we'll go to the next slide. This is Kalyavana, and there's Krishna, and this is Mathura. Why is Kalyavana interesting? Because his father was he was made fun of, he was embarrassed by the Yadus, sometimes the Yadu boys, were very naughty, they were very rude. And so they pulled a prank on him, and he didn't like it. So he performed tapasya for 12 years. And what did he do? The father of Kalyavana, Gargya, he ate fine iron powder for 12 years as tapasya. And he prayed to Lord Shiva that I want to have a son who will terrorize the Yadus. All of them, and he will not be defeated by any of them. This includes Krishna. So here Krishna is in another dilemma. Every step of the way, he has to think about his mission. Okay, what should I do? The inhabitants of Mathura, they're in so much danger. If I'm fighting with Kalyavana, J.R. Sunday can take them hostage at any point. So what did Krishna do? The next slide shows he built Dwarka. This is how Dwarka manifested. And one of the purposes of Krishna's appearance is to manifest his pastime places and his dhams, his transcendental abodes. So overnight, he designed this beautiful 100 square mile city right off the ocean, and he transported all the residents of Mathura there. And then he came back to find Kalyavana. So Kalyavana is there. And Kalyavana sees Krishna, beautiful Krishna. He sees him as Narayan. And he notices he has no weapons. He's on foot. He has no chariot. So Kalyavana says, I'm also going to catch him on foot. So Kalyavana starts to chase Krishna. And he starts to run at them at full speed. And then the next photo shows this. There's Krishna. Krishna is running away from the battlefield. But if you can tell, you can see Kalyavana is just within arm's reach. He's so close, yet he cannot catch Krishna. And Krishna doesn't even look like he's running. He's practically walking at a walking pace. And there's a very important lesson here. Kalyavana has chased him as fast as he could, but he cannot capture Krishna. Why? Who can catch Krishna? Does this remind you of any story of someone catching Krishna? Mother Yashoda, yes. And how come she was able to capture Krishna? Because of love. Krishna was bound by love. Krishna's not bound by even the yogis, what to speak of the demons. So he was within arm's reach. And Krishna just moving at this walking pace, he knew where he was going. So he went up the hill and he found a cave. And he went to this cave. And in this cave there was a man sleeping. And so Krishna took his yellow chadar off. He put it on the man, so it looked like it was Krishna. And Krishna hid in the corner. And Kalyavana came in and he thought, that's the next photo. He thought, oh, there's Krishna. He took his foot, kicked him really hard. Have you ever been woken up from a long, deep sleep? What's that like?
Not good.
Have you ever been kicked, woken up by a kick? I hope not. So what did this man do? He was woken up by a hard kick. As soon as he woke up, he looked at Kalyavana standing right there, and Prabhupada says, fire came from his eyes and burnt the man to ashes. And that was the end of Kalyavana. So what's happening here? Who is this person? This is Muchukunda. The story has so many moving parts, but it ends with a very important point that I'll get to. This is Muchukunda. Muchukunda was a king from Satyayuga for many, many millennia before. And he fought against the demons for many, many years. And when it was finished, Kartikeya, the chief of the demigods, said, thank you so much for your help. But you know, if you go back home to your kingdom, everyone's died by now. It's been so many years. So I'll give you a boon. What do you wish? And what did Muchukunda ask for? Part of it. But his first thing was, I'm just so tired. I just want to go to sleep. I'm sure you can relate. I'm working so hard. All I want to ask for is some sleep. I just want a good night's sleep. And that good night's sleep lasted millions and millions of years. And yes, like you're saying, if someone wakes me up prematurely, with my eyes, I will look at them and burn them to ashes. So Krishna knew this. And he also knew that Kalyavana, this is a devotee of Krishna. And this brings us to the point that Prabhupada makes in his purport here. That yes, Krishna comes to relieve the burden of the earth. But in Krishna fulfilling his mission, who does he think about to glorify? Not himself. Rather, Krishna is thinking, I want to glorify my devotee. And I want to fulfill my mission in such a way that my devotee can serve me. And therefore, he becomes glorious and not I. It even says here that the battle of Kurukshetra was designed by the Lord himself, but just to give credit to his devotee Arjuna, he played the part of the charioteer, while Arjuna was given the chance to play the fighter and thus become the hero of the battle of Kurukshetra. So this shows a very beautiful, wonderful quality of the Lord, and that is his humility. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Chinadapi Sinichena, Devora Vasa Hichena, Amanina Manidena Kirtaniha Sadahari, Amanina Manidena. Without any desire for one's own prestige and ready to give all respect to others. This is Amanina Manidena. And this is Krishna. This is his attitude. He loves his devotees so much and he wants his devotees to serve him. This is the natural position of a devotee, to serve Krishna. And he wants us to be situated in that. That he glorifies the devotee by giving him this opportunity. And therefore he didn't kill Kalyavana himself. Yes, there was the boon of Lord Shiva to state that none of the Yadus can defeat Krishna, but Krishna can supersede anything. Out of respect for this boon and for his devotee Muchukunda to be glorified, he was the one who killed Kalyavana. So the point I wanted to bring here is that yes, Krishna wants to glorify us. Krishna wants to give us mercy by giving us service to serve him. But what's the devotee's attitude? What is the devotee to do with this glorification, to do with this service that's given by the Supreme Lord? There is a verse in the Bhagavatam where Sri Giriraj Maharaj is considered the best of all devotees. It says, Haridasa Varyo, O Govardhan Hill, of all the devotees, you are the best. This hill is the best because you are serving Krishna and Balaram, the cows, all the residents of Vrindavan. But actually, the personality who is saying this verse, who's making this statement, is Srimati Radharani herself, who is the greatest devotee of Krishna. And therefore, she wants to glorify another devotee. So the mood of the devotee is the same of Krishna. It's the same of amanina amanabhina, that I'm not seeking the prestige for myself, expecting none in return, but giving all respects to others. And this is what pleases the Lord, and this is what is the mood of the devotees, that Krishna wants to glorify his devotees and give them service, and devotees want to give service to other devotees. And in this way, it's called Sankirtan. This is Sankirtan, that we engage others in the service of the Lord, even though the Lord is engaging us and giving us the mercy. We spread it with others. And that's very much pleasing to Krishna. Every day this month we're singing the Damodarashtakam prayers, and we're thinking about baby Krishna, Mother Yashoda, in this Damodar Leela. When Krishna was running away out of fear of Mother Yashoda, and she catches him, and he has rope to tie him up, and it's just two fingers too short. What does she do?
From her neighbors.
From her neighbors, okay. So, I'm sure Mother Yashoda has plenty of rope in her own house. But does she go back and through her own endeavor, just on her own, get more rope and keep trying to tie Krishna? No, she goes to her neighbors. And what does this mean? She's trying to engage all the other gopis. Here, bind Krishna. Be part of the service. It's not centered around me. I'm putting myself out of the picture, and I'm engaging you in selfless service of the Lord. This is Sankirtan. This is the spirit of Sankirtan, that we are not just on our own trying to please Krishna, but actually pleasing Krishna is the act of engaging the others and glorifying him. And in doing this, this is the extra endeavor that Krishna sees. Not just our own endeavor, but the extra endeavor is that I'm cooperating with everybody else and engaging them. And so we can't do it alone. This is why this process of Sankirtan is given in this age, is because we can barely do anything alone. What to speak of glorify Krishna, connect with Krishna, remember Krishna at all times. And so when Krishna sees this selfless service attitude, this cooperative attitude, that we're willing to cooperate with others in this higher level of selflessness, that attracts him very much. And therefore he wants to glorify us more, and therefore we want to share the mercy more. And we see this is the mood of Mahaprabhu, this is the mood of our acharyas, this is definitely the mood of Srila Prabhupada, and this has to be our mood as well. Prabhupada's one of his last instructions, very famously, is that your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate. And that cooperation, if you think about this statement a little bit deeper, you think that just like we talked about the mission of Krishna and how he wanted to fulfill his mission through engaging his devotees, that same mood is there in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. This mood of Sankirtan is at the very core, spreading Krishna consciousness to every town and village, is at the very core of what Srila Prabhupada's mission was and is. And so therefore, him saying that your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate, it's indirectly stated, this will be shown on how you engage in Sankirtan, because real Sankirtan means cooperating with one another to glorify Krishna. And this is the core of his mission. And therefore, what I want to take away, I want you to take away from today's class and this pastime, is that Krishna has a very specific purpose in why he came. And the great devotees of Krishna have a very specific purpose in why they came and why... I guess I can say it this way, that we have to understand that our position as receiving mercy from Krishna is to pass it on, not just to feel that I'm the recipient and it ends with me, because that is the chain, to pass it on. So please take a look at this wonderful pastime of Krishna and Jarasandha, and you'll see that throughout many of Krishna's pastimes, in his form of Krishna and his form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's always seeking to engage his devotees in his own service and glorify them and give them this mercy of being part of his mission. And therefore our responsibility is to recognize that and do the same and pass it on. So I want to wrap it up there and ask for any questions or reflections. You have a mic coming.
So you started with this hierarchy of perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, like, have you seen anywhere where it's just the engagement of others in service is more perfect? Or is it, where does it fit in that? Is it more special if we're engaging others in service?
Compared to not.
Just not.
Yeah, I mean, this is, there's, I'm making a strong point with this statement. That I'm driving home a certain point that Srila Prabhupada gives in the purport of how Krishna engages his devotees and how we should subsequently engage other devotees. That's not to say that one's own one-on-one relationship and endeavor with Krishna, for example, our japa, and if we took the example of japa versus sankirtan, doesn't have to be there. I don't want to speculate and say that this is more, one kind of service is more perfect than one is most perfect. But we can observe through the life of Srila Prabhupada at least and see that why was he so pleased when devotees distributed his books? And we can just look at that one example and you can see that it's so pleasing to him because the act of true compassion of spreading Krishna consciousness and sharing it with others is very, very elevated, and it does attract the special mercy of the Lord. And we'll see this example again and again when one is engaged in sharing Krishna consciousness with others. That does attract a certain special mercy, but it's not to say to neglect one's own personal endeavor. That helps.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anybody else? Hari Govinda has a question.
Why did Krishna run away from the battlefield when he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
Why did he run away? Why is he Ranjur? Do you have an answer? Okay, we have an answer here. We'll pass the mic this way.
I think because he knew he could create a pastime with it, because he knew that... What
was
his name?
Jarasandha?
Yeah. I can't say that.
Yeah.
Well, I forgot his name, but I think he purposely made the pastime when he ran away, and plus he couldn't kill,
Kalyavana. Yeah, I mean, when Krishna does something, there's so many reasons why he does something, and so your answer is correct, of course, to create a pastime, and there's a lot of answers, and I see hands up, so let's use this as a point of discussion. There's a hand up in the back. Please pass the mic.
He was giving mercy to Muchukunda.
He was giving mercy to Muchukunda also. And this actually was mentioned here in the purport that after the death of Kamsa, Srila Prabhupada sitting, after the death of Kamsa, when Mathura was encircled by the soldiers of Kalyavana, Jarasandha and Salva, the Lord seemingly fled from the city, and thus he is known as Ranchur. Like you're saying, why did he run away? Or one who's fled from fighting. Actually, the fact was that the Lord wanted to kill them through the agency of his own men, devotees like Muchukunda and Bhima. And this is Krishna can do anything. He can solve all these issues in a split second if he wanted to. One quick swoop like that, everything's taken care of. But he does certain things to fulfill his purpose, essentially. Right? So one of his purposes is to enhance our attractiveness to him. By performing such leelas, by glorifying such devotees. Thank you. Any other questions? A lot of tired faces. Just wanted some sleep. That was one of my favorite parts of the story. Anyways, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki, Bhagavatam ki.